I'm Cheryl Corley, and for Michelle Martin, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, Muslims and evangelical Christians try to build a common understanding. That's just ahead in our Faith Matters segment. But first, the Democratic presidential field has had a busy week. It began with a YouTube-CNN debate, and for the top candidates ends with a forum tonight at the National Urban League Convention. Meantime, President Bush is embattled on many fronts with possible contempt charges for his aides and another round of tough questions for his attorney general. Joining us to talk about the week in politics is Michael Fodroy. He's a professor at the George Mason School of Public Policy and the author of Republicans and the Black Vote. Also with us is Melissa Harris-Lacewell. She's a professor of politics at Princeton University. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, the Democratic frontrunners, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Edwards, are set to appear tonight at the Urban League, along with candidate Dennis Kucinich. And the YouTube debate was on Tuesday. Melissa, let's begin with you. Are all of these appearances an opportunity for these candidates, or a risk either of being caught in a gaffe or just wearing out their welcome with voters?
Well, the first thing is that the vast majority of voters are not watching all of these debates with the same kind of intensity and closeness that those of us who are pundits and in the media are paying attention to. So we are probably getting more weary than the average voter. That said, there are some risks for particular candidates. Most importantly, there's a risk for Barack Obama. And the reason there is a risk for him is because at the moment, his campaign is centered around the idea that he is fresh and new. So the more that he becomes stale and ordinary, the more that he's going to have to reposition sort of what it is that he brings. It also means that dark horse candidates, candidates like Michael Bloomberg and Fred Thompson, will have the opportunity to become fresh new faces if they're able to finance their campaigns independently and show up later.
Raise enough money so they can actually be at these appearances.
Well, for Bloomberg, there's no question of raising the money. It's just a question of whether or not he wants to spend it in this particular way.
Michael, none of the major Republican candidates have signed on for the Urban League convention, and they also skipped the NAACP event earlier this month. Does the GOP have any interest in courting Black voters this time around?
No. I mean, I know they say they do.
Okay.
I know they say they do. But, you know, the National Urban League is not some, you know, far leftist organization that just appearing there would pose significant problems for any candidate. This is a mainstream Black organization. And if you can't address the Urban League, then I'm not sure you really care enough to try to win Black votes. And for that reason, I have to conclude that the GOP isn't serious.
Melissa, how successful are events then like the Urban League Forum or the NAACP debate at compelling these candidates to address issues that interest people of color?
Well, I mean, if any one of the Democratic strategists working for the candidates has taken a look at the Electoral College map from the last two elections, it's quite clear that there are no blue states. There are only blue cities, and those cities are either powerful enough to carry the state or not. So the Urban League, even beyond being a question of Black voters, it is urban centers, it is cities that are the stronghold for Democratic candidates. They have no choice but to continue to address urban voters, because that's where their fundamental base is. And in the primaries, whoever is going to win the primaries is going to have to get the urban vote. And the movers and shakers are there at the Urban League Convention. So in a strategic way, it matters a great deal. It probably matters less in terms of kind of shaping their identity as candidates than it does simply about the strategy of showing up.
Let me take you back just a little bit before we leave this primary election. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, who has not declared his candidacy yet, did speak at the Urban League this week. And Michael, is that some sort of indication that he's gearing up for an announcement?
It's all but waiting for the date for the announcement. I mean, there's no reason for a mayor of New York who has been in office as long as he has to go to St. Louis to address this organization, unless, of course, you're using this as a sounding board to perhaps get some attention for some future political activity. I mean, he is doing some things that I think are very smart, leaving the Republican Party such that he was and becoming an independent, I think, is one along a number of events and opportunities that I think he's going to utilize to legitimize himself as a candidate who can run in the center and pull from both sides.
You're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the week in politics with Michael Fauntleroy and Melissa Harris-Lacewell. Melissa, let's look back at this week's YouTube-CNN debate. Did any of the candidates have a breakout moment as far as you were concerned?
Well, it was more that the American people had some breakout moments. So there were some really interesting, messy, complicated, moments of democratic little d politics. Mm-hmm. What I like about YouTube is that it is relatively less censored and relatively less staged than the questions that are generally asked by journalists and media pundits. So I appreciated, my fellow citizen with his big gun asking whether or not they were going to take away his baby. Mm-hmm. This, I think, represents, fundamentally kind of where Americans are in terms of how they're thinking about big issues. So I think the candidates were all behaving in their very usual, safe way. Nobody yet is really ready to attack, particularly Hillary Clinton, because they fear the possibility that she may become the eventual nominee, and they don't want their language used against her in a general election. So there's no breakout moments yet for the candidates. But I have to say, my fellow citizens are quite an interesting bunch of folks.
Michael, what did you think about
that? Well, I would say, to the extent that there was a breakout moment, what I thought was pretty curious was the back and forth between Senator Clinton and Senator Obama about speaking to leaders from rogue states. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of back and forth that I'd like to see more of going forward. And I think we will as we get deeper into the year and closer to the primaries.
Melissa, both Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are strong contenders for the black vote. How risky is it for Clinton to be seen attacking Senator Obama?
What Hillary Clinton is doing, probably better than any of the other candidates right now, is that she's taking what I would call the masculine position, the kind of tough, may I say, George Bush-like position of, look, here is what I think. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to so much court votes as I'm going to stand here and sort of force you to come to me. Now, ultimately, I think that this is going to be a terrible mistake in the general elections, but it may, in fact, be a winning primary strategy. Right now, African-American voters seem to be, as a set of policy concerns, kind of more in line with either Barack Obama or John Edwards. But strategically, as voters, they're very concerned to be sure they choose a nominee who they believe has the greatest likelihood of winning in the general election. For black voters right now, they're very concerned that the country is not prepared to elect an African-American president and therefore are more likely to support a tough, well-known Hillary Clinton or for strategic reasons than for actual policy agreement reasons.
I'm not sure she'd agree with your description of her being George Bush-like, though. I'm not sure
about
that.
Oh, I'm sure she wouldn't. And yet, somebody's got to say it.
Well, let's take a look at what's been happening on Capitol Hill. Some Senate Democrats have called for a special prosecutor probe of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez for alleged conflicts in his congressional testimony. There's also a subpoena for White House strategist Karl Rove over the firing of several federal prosecutors. Michael, do you have a sense of whether the Democrats are doing what their constituents want? And is this a wise use of their power?
I think they are doing what their constituents want. I think they're also doing what they want. The problem, though, is the Bush administration has the capacity to string this out and run out the clock, if you will. And so the Democrats, from my perspective, have a tremendous amount of pressure to make something happen so that if the president does leave in 2009 and you've had all these questions left unanswered, then I think they're going to look much like the Republicans did during Whitewater.
Melissa, I want to shift over to the House. The Judiciary Committee there is pursuing contempt of Congress charges against White House Chief of Staff Josh Bolton and former White House Counsel Harriet Myers. That's also part of the federal prosecutor's controversy. Does the Bush administration have anything to lose by continuing to resist the congressional demands?
No, I think they are going to continue to resist. Part of what they've done is consolidate an enormous amount of power in the executive branch, and they're going to use that consolidated power to just sort of hold on till the end. You know, this president is in a very unique position. His vice president is not running for the nomination. He does not have to protect his legacy in the same way, because everyone who's running in his party is sort of non-affiliated with W's administration. So he can continue to behave badly. And the reality is that voters asked Democratic candidates to get us out of the war in Iraq. And any failure to deliver on that promise is going to be what will be held against Democrats in 2008.
Mm-hmm. So just a last question to both of you. These subpoenas and congressional investigations and all of that, they're big news here in Washington, D.C. Do you have any sense of whether these stories matter to people who are not inside the Beltway?
People around the country are focused on summer vacation and getting their kid back to school. And so I'm not sure it's playing much beyond the Beltway.
Melissa?
When you want to do big-time congressional investigations that rock an administration, you want it to be about sex, money laundering, you know, kind of things that can penetrate, I don't know, Dateline, that sort of thing. It's really tough to talk about separation of the branches, the ways in which all of this matters for democratic processing. Big yawn. We'd rather know what's going on with, you know, with Bend It Like Beckham and all of that sort of thing. So,
Melissa Harris-Lacewell is a professor of political science at Princeton University. She joined us from the campus studio in New Jersey. And Michael Fauntleroy is author of Republicans and the Black Vote. He joined us here in our studio. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.